Case for argument this morning is Martin Rodriguez against Holder.
May it please the court.
Mr. Hopp.
May it please the court, my name is Matthew Hoppeck. I'm an attorney in Kansas City representing Jose Marin Rodriguez in this immigration case. This case has come before the court to review the decision of the Board of Immigration Appeals, which held that when a person...
Or not. Right. We have a motion to remand, and that seems our first order of business. The motion says that you are opposed, so I think the first thing we need to know is why.
Fair enough. I think the best argument against voluntary remand in this case is that voluntary remand couldn't resolve all of the issues on appeal before the court. There's a necessary question of whether the board has jurisdiction or doesn't have jurisdiction, and I'm not sure the board can answer the question. The reason is the board's decision in matter of Cerna said that motions to reconsider are retroactive, and yet the deportation or departure bar says motions to reconsider are included in this
I'm lost. Your brief says that in cases where the motion was filed before the removal, and the removal, that is the departure, is involuntary, this regulation simply doesn't require the board to dismiss. And you also say that both the Sixth and the Ninth Circuits have held that.
That's right.
Why can't the board say that on remand, and it will end this controversy?
The department's brief says that the board has a limited ability to determine its own jurisdiction, and the department has argued vigorously that the board doesn't have any ability to redetermine in its own right, which is confusing to Mr. Marin Rodriguez why they've now asked to remand so that the board could do exactly that. I think the other argument, which goes in tandem, is that we've argued in our brief that the board didn't even have jurisdiction to entertain the Department of Homeland Security's final motion to reconsider because the case had already been remanded to the Immigration Court. A voluntary remand doesn't solve that jurisdictional issue, because if the case was already pending before the Immigration Court in Kansas City, the board didn't have jurisdiction then and wouldn't have jurisdiction now to entertain a Department of Homeland Security motion to reconsider. The only way the board gets jurisdiction is the regulation that says the board can reopen or reconsider at any time on its own motion, and yet the board didn't do that here.
You're losing me. First, I don't understand what any of this has to do with jurisdiction. Although perhaps that word is being used very loosely here. The Supreme Court has held just this term that administrative agencies have no authority whatsoever to either enlarge or reduce their own jurisdiction. It's just a matter of statutes, not a matter of agency choice. But putting jurisdiction in its strict sense to one side, surely the board has the authority to say, look, the remand is a mistake because it doesn't matter what the immigration judge does on remand. We're just going to vacate his order. So we'll spare everybody the trouble.
But there's nothing in the statute that gives the board the power to do that. And the board has clarified through regulation.
I understand your argument that there's nothing. Board doesn't have the authority to say we have no choice but to dismiss once the alien is gone. I mean, my question to you was, why can't the board, isn't that one of the things the board itself might say on remand? It might say, we've now given this some thought. We agree with the view that an alien who files before he leaves and then is removed involuntarily is entitled to keep this thing on file. Isn't that one of the options?
I think, as a jurisdictional matter, if the board moves in its own right to do that, yes, it absolutely can do that. But I don't think jurisdictionally it can entertain a Department of Homeland Security motion after it's now pending before the immigration judge. But, I mean, I think maybe the better argument is the one I started with, which is that a voluntary remand doesn't resolve all of the issues before the court. And I think it's best, I mean, read the department's brief.
That sounds like, gee, we really want a judicial opinion. We'd be more happy with that than with an administrative win. But that's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be resolving cases or controversies. And if the board wants this back, it's not clear what the Article III controversy is.
And that's
unless the board can't give you the relief you want, right? If If what's going on here is the board just wants to write a better opinion for denying your client's request, then we've got a real controversy. But if the remand can actually give your client the relief he wants, then we probably don't have a controversy. That's what I'm trying to get you to
focus
on.
That's right. The department has argued in its brief that the board cannot redetermine its own jurisdiction and cannot entertain a motion to reconsider after a person is deported. So even if the Sixth and the Ninth have held that it can, that the departure bar shouldn't apply, the board hasn't responded to either of those decisions. And most recently,
and it might do so in this case. Right. It might say, okay, we've read them, we agree with it, we're going to do that from now on. Isn't that something it can do?
That's a reasonable position. The problem is the department has said in its brief in this case that the board can't do that.
Well,
is the department in any way limiting what the board could do if it were to go back?
We're not confident that the board, when taking this back, wouldn't do anything other than what Judge Easterbrook has suggested, which is to write a better decision of why it should have denied in the first place.
That's always a possibility, but what about the possibility that they may actually address
it? Well, in your favor.
Were the motion to remand filed before briefing, I think we would have no reason to doubt with any confidence that that would be the case. But the department's already briefed this issue and has defended every aspect of the board's decision, saying the board doesn't have jurisdiction to reconsider this case. So, I mean, until the board either issues a new decision in Coit v. Holder or Madrigal v. Holder, both of which are now pending before the board, I'll note that in Coit, the mandate just issued March 24th, so that issue is now back before the board. Until the board issues a new decision, it doesn't seem like the board would have any power to redetermine this, given the department's arguments in its brief, to redetermine this issue without an order from this court.
Counsel, of reading between the lines as to the vigorous position your opponent has held up until this late date, the fact that they've changed the position as to remand, might that not suggest that they perhaps your underlying issue would also be changed if the court does grant their motion to remand?
It may. That's a very good point. My problem is, in litigating before this court, how do we know the department's position? I mean, I think it's best set out in its brief. And the motion to remand does not suggest why, or even doesn't even say that it is changing its position. The motion to remand just says it identifies one issue that the board didn't address, whether it had sua sponte jurisdiction, and says the board ought to be allowed to address it in the first instance. But in its brief, the department argued that the board can't address it in the first instance.
How are you prejudiced if it is remanded?
I'm not sure that we are prejudiced. We are prejudiced if it goes back to the board and the board does what Judge Easterbrook has said, gives it better reasons for why it should have denied. Mr. Marine Rodriguez has adult children who are qualifying relatives for cancellation of removal. If this case pends for another year or 2 years, his children will be past the age of 21. He won't be eligible for cancellation anymore, and this case is mooted out. There's no reason to send it back to the immigration court.
He isn't eligible for cancellation anyway. Little problem of his convictions. There's a certain artificial nature to this case. I mean, it does seem to me that you're asking that the case be sent back with instructions to reject his petition on the merits rather than for lack of jurisdiction.
I don't think it's an issue that's before this court.
No, it's not before this court. That's why I say it's artificial.
The first board remand order said he ought to have the right to apply for cancellation of removal. I think that's enough. That says he has, and I think there's good case law that says when somebody uses a forged Social Security card to work, that's the Ramos case. It's the Ninth Circuit case that this court has cited approvingly, that when they use that kind of a card to do otherwise lawful activity, that's not a crime involving moral turpitude. It may be a crime, but it's, so at any rate, but again, I don't think that issue is before this court. But on the issue of prejudice, we don't have an application for cancellation of removal if this withers on administrative review for the next year or 2 years. The other issues that I don't think are resolved by remand are is the second one that I listed, that I don't think the board has jurisdiction to entertain a Department of Homeland Security motion. The department hasn't responded to that issue. I would just sort of briefly note the line of cases about Madrigal v. Holder and Coit v. Holder. In the department's brief, it asked the court to follow the long line of cases about a very separate issue, whether you can file a motion to reopen after you leave the country. I would point the court to the Ninth Circuit's footnote in Coit v. Holder that said that issue is not this issue, that they're separate. That's at 907 of Coit v. Holder in footnote 3. And so this is only about Madrigal v. Holder and COIT beholder, and whether when somebody files a motion to reopen while they're here, a motion to reconsider while they're here, and then they get deported, whether the board is then stripped of all jurisdiction. The Ninth and the Sixth have both said to say such a thing should be to refute it. And so unless there are any other questions, I'll reserve time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Certainly, Mr. Hawk. Mr. Hausman.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court, my name is Alan Hausman. I'm an attorney with the Office of Immigration Litigation at DOJ. And I have to comment that we would not be here today addressing any of these issues if the petitioner had shown up at his scheduled immigration court hearing having complied with the admonition from the immigration judge to submit his fingerprints and biometrics, and gave him 15 months to do it with an admonition specifically to the petitioner in his own language, Spanish, of what his obligation was. And then about 15 months later, he showed up in court. He said he hadn't complied with what the immigration told him to do. And the immigration judge, acting pursuant to a regulation, then deemed the application for cancellation withdrawn. He entered an order of removal. And significantly for this court, for the court in reaching a decision here, there was no petition for there was an appeal to the board. The board affirmed the immigration judge's decision, and there was no petition for review filed. And so the decision of the immigration judge is now final.
No petition for review filed, but there was this motion to remand filed, at least by my calculation, within the time allowed to seek judicial review.
That's correct, Your Honor.
But the board granted it. There's some confusion. I certainly had confusion after reading the board's orders. The board seemed to think the first time that it was a motion to reopen. Then it thought the second time that it wasn't, that it was, you know, in the nature of a request for rehearing, timely, sent it back. And then when yanking its mandate back from the immigration judge, went back to treating it as a motion to reopen and governed by the reopening rules. Now, it's one or the other, but the board can't be playing both at once.
Well, the board conceded that it essentially conceded that it had made an error when it looked at the document that was filed by petitioner's counsel, which was styled as a motion to remand, as a motion to reopen, and then when you looked at the text, it said, we are seeking to reopen our proceeding. But there was already an ongoing proceeding, and so it was illogical to reopen what was continuing. It was just inappropriately styled. The board looked at the style, looked at the content, assumed that it was a motion to reopen, which has a time limit, and under standard,
it was
untimely.
That's the board's first order. The second order changes their mind about what it was.
Well, there was
the thing that struck me is the third order, the one taking it away from the immigration judge, essentially goes back to the first order without mentioning their second order where they'd said that was the wrong characterization of this document.
Well, what the board did was it ultimately, the DHS pointed out to the board that at the time that it entered its order, granting reconsideration and remanding to the immigration judge, the petitioner had been removed from the United States. And under a regulation that governs the board, Yes.
If this was a motion in the original removal proceeding, and think of it as a petition for rehearing to the board.
Yes.
Timely, because it was filed within the time to seek judicial review. Then all of this elaborate apparatus about motions to reopen is completely irrelevant, because in 1996, Congress changed the law and said that a removal proceeding, further review of a removal proceeding, is not foreclosed by removal from the United States. If this is effectively the direct original removal proceeding, all of this falderall about motions to reopen is irrelevant. Right? And that's how the board construed it in its second order, the one sending it back to the immigration judge.
The board did enter an order granting the motion to reconsider, but that was the second order that the board had entered. The first order was the appeal order. The immigration judge made a decision. There was an appeal, and then the board affirmed the IJ.
In terms of judges, we enter an order in this case, right? There is a time to seek reconsideration of that order. The alien seeks reconsideration of that order, and we grant it. Now, is that a collateral attack? That's what a motion to reconsider in immigration practice is, a collateral attack. Or is it a continuation of the original proceeding? In judicial practice, it's clear. It's a continuation of the original proceeding. If in a criminal case we grant a motion for reconsideration of one of our own decisions, it's not any form of collateral attack. It's part of the direct appeal. That's the question I'm asking here. Isn't what the board did when it remanded to the immigration judge saying that this is a motion to remand and not a motion for reopening? Isn't what the board did is say this is an order in the original removal proceeding? It's not in the nature of a collateral attack.
The board did not address that argument, which was subsequently presented to it. And because the board's decision doesn't deal with the jurisdictional questions that the petitioner raised, is the reason why the government has sought remand in this case.
You're not addressing my question.
The board did not view it as Your Honor is suggesting or as Your Honor is proposing. The board considered that it entered its decision affirming the immigration judge, and thereafter a motion was filed, which it interpreted as seeking to reopen the case, and said that it couldn't consider that motion because it was untimely. And then when the petitioner asked for reconsideration, the board accepted its characterization that it was actually a motion to remand, which doesn't have a time bar. And so the board did not address the question of whether it was a continuation of the prior appeal, but it treated it as it was a new case, as it was a separate motion before. But that is not explained or articulated by the board. And what the court is doing is reviewing the decision of the board, it's unclear what the board's thinking was.
Take you away from this and go to the question I asked that Mr. Hoppeck, which Judge Flom also asked. Let's suppose we grant your motion to remand. Is it your position that the board has the legal authority to grant the relief the alien is asking, or is it your position that the board's only authority is to write a better opinion explaining the denial of relief?
The petitioner has pointed out several issues.
I didn't ask what the petitioner has pointed out. If you would address my question, please.
I believe the board has the authority. And the citation that supports that is Bulnes-Nolasco, 25, INN Decisions 57 at page 59. Now, the board has not addressed a situation exactly like this, but in that case, the board addressed the effect of a removal order that was entered in absentia, where the petitioner filed a motion to reopen, claiming that he failed to receive notice. And the board said in that circumstance, it has the authority to go back and determine whether the original removal order was valid. Because if the original order was not valid, then the motion to reopen could be entertained. And so the petitioner is essentially making
a parallel argument. Confessing error on the position asserted in your brief, which says the board does not have the legal authority, doesn't have jurisdiction, to grant the alien any relief. And you are now saying that that is wrong, and the board does have the legal authority to grant relief to the alien.
Board cited the regulation that is very clear, and it says that.
The board cited. I'm asking whether it is now your position, you speak for the Attorney General of the United States, whether it is your position on behalf of the Attorney General that your brief is wrong and the board indeed has the legal authority to grant the relief the alien seeks.
I believe the board has the authority to consider the argument. I don't know what decision the board would reach. But in looking at the precedents from the board's decision, the board said that in the Bulnes-Nolasco case, there can be an exception, and it recognized an exception. And it didn't address the petitioner's claim that this case is also merits an exception. I don't think that I can speak for what the board is going to say, but I think that the board certainly has the power to consider the arguments that were raised in petitioner's brief.
You see my problem. Your whole brief says that the board lacks jurisdiction to do something. Jurisdiction is the authority to consider an argument at all. Now you seem to be saying the opposite. You say, well, maybe the board won't use that authority, but it has the authority. It sounds like a remand makes sense only if the Attorney General is going to, the representatives of the Attorney General before the board will tell the board that, in fact, it has the legal authority that your brief at length denies it has. Otherwise, it's totally pointless.
I believe that the petitioner has raised a legal argument that the board needs to consider and make the decision. And that upon remand, the board will address that
subject. What is your position going to be before the board on remand? That it has the authority or that it lacks the authority?
Well, the Justice Department doesn't present a position before the board. The Justice Department is the adjudicator in the form of the board. It's the Department of Homeland Security's attorneys are going to come in and they're going to argue this.
Let me try this again.
Yes, sir.
The board is subject to the control of the Attorney General of the United States. The Attorney General can point his finger and direct the board to do anything it wants. The Attorney General can supersede any decision of the board. He can reverse any decision of the board. So in the end, the question whether the board has authority to do this is subject to judicial review, a decision for the Attorney General to make. What is the Attorney General's position, that the board has this authority or that it lacks this authority?
The only guidance that I can have in giving you an answer is to look at the board's precedent decisions. The board in this case cited only the regulation. I mean, the function that I have with the Attorney General is to represent to the court the position that the board has taken.
Now, your position is to represent to the court the position of the Attorney General of the United States, whose lawyer you are in this case. You are not the board's lawyer. You are the Attorney General's lawyer. And if there's any confusion about that, you should look at the caption.
Yes, Your Honor.
Thank you very much. Anything further, Mr. Hovick?
I think the reason for our opposition to the motion to remand is pretty well spelled out in the words of the distinguished attorney, Mr. Houseman, that works for the Department of Justice. They can't say what the board's going to do on remand. The motion is filed 2 days before argument.
I don't care what the board's going to do on remand. The board may disagree with the position articulated here. I was trying to figure out in this last questioning what is the position of the Attorney General of the United States about whether the board has authority or doesn't.
Thank you for putting me back. You're exactly right. It's not necessarily a matter of what they're going to do on remand, but whether they can address the issue at all on remand. Their brief is clear and cites matter of Bulnes and Alasco for the point that the board can't adjudicate this issue in the first instance. So remanding voluntarily without an order of this court, if we're to take the department's brief at its word, and they've essentially tipped their hand. The department has told us the board can't consider this in the first instance. A voluntary remand would do nothing, barring a precedential decision after Coit v. Holder or Madrigal v. Holder, which are now pending at the board. That's the only comment I have, unless the court has any further questions.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.